Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we are announcing that we've been on the air for 5 years and 3 months. Recently, since approximately January 2015, Jane Hoffman, Don Gallimore, and John Yoder have been live on the air. John and Jane have been on a little longer, and Don joined us approximately 11 months ago. We're going to take a look back of the 5 years, and we're going to... Ernest and I had a interview with Fred and Nate Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church. We also did other feature stories. Ernest interviewed Macy Gray. I'm going to play a clip of Ernest reading a letter from Father Larry Rosebaugh while I look for a another clip of the Westboro Baptist Church. Here we go.
Dear Dorothy and Frank, I've begun letters to you several times during my stay in Recife. After each beginning, I felt a certain incompleteness about the thoughts I wished to convey, and so the pages remain unfinished and collecting dust. However, since May, things have taken on a different appearance, helping me to put some clarity to my overall vision. On that day, my friend Tom, an American working with the Mennonites in Recife, and I were apprehended by the police as we wheeled our cart to the market for vegetables. As a result of the plea from Dom Helder Camera, Tom and I had come to the decision to live and work on the city streets. A man eating red clay sprinkled with salt had appeared one night on the doorstep of Dom Helder, who found him the next day limp and dying. For Tom and myself, such a call to respond to the forsaken of the street seemed providential, flowing naturally from the course of our past lives. We talked for many hours exploring the different possibilities. We thought, we prayed, we talked with Don Helder and others who experienced and received the far surpassed our own, until we reached the point, after weeks, where there was nothing more to do but to begin.
That was one interview. Right now, I'm trying to find...
Dear Dorothy and Frank, I've begun letters to you several times during my stay...
I found the other clip. Just a second. Don, I see you on the air, and I'm going to reel you in a minute, okay? So, Don, we're looking back over my 3 years with Ernest on Ernest Radio Network. And we're also looking at what we've done this past year together as a group. Just one moment, please. I'm trying to eliminate this ad. Okay, I'm going to pull Don in before I get the next clip ready. Just a moment. Hi, Don. What do you feel like the most significant momentum that we've covered this last year and the highlights and maybe stronger points we have made to our audience?
Hello, good evening, folks. I think that we've covered a lot when it comes down to political and some spiritual issues that we've talked about. For the most part, I've made it a point to let everyone know that we're living in a disparate age, history in our history, and we need to really look at ourselves to make sure that we're going to allow ourselves to be on the right track for a peaceful transition in the future. We're having a lot of problems right now with cultures clashing, and that's because primarily of the lack of understanding that we have of each other's cultures. And it's becoming a clash, primarily religious, and we need to really sit back for a second and ascertain where we are so that we can move better in the future. That's one of my primary comments that I'd like to make sure that people understand in the last
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
The Clash, one of the political scientists who's famous in America, Samuel Huntington, defined the clash of civilization as what would take place after the post-Vietnam era, where it wouldn't be so much a struggle between traditional power structures, but it would be between people in their shifts, you know, people emigrating here and emigrating there, and we've seen that a lot with the Mexicans and Donald Trump, the Middle Eastern in Europe, and numerous other examples, the Arab Spring uprising with social media and the advancement of the electronic age. And I think you've done a good job of covering policy objectives for education this past year in America and explaining to our audience things about education and what changes are being proposed by corporate managed entities. And John's been good at just bringing out the spiritual impulse behind decision making and how people struggle on a daily basis. I'm going to try to jump to the studio to find John. Oh, Lord. Let's see if I can do that. Well, I have four windows up right now. How am I doing? Well, yeah. I'm going to play an excerpt from me and Ernest interviewing God Hates Fags, the Westboro Baptist Church, while I look for the studio page so I can find John. So bear with me a second.
Okay.
I'm doing
no
fine
problem.
Tonight, though. Here we go.
That's good.
A year and a half ago in a roadside robbery. And
yes,
you know,
I did mention that on the first show. He was 74, and I even mentioned where the funeral was and who conducted the ceremony.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyways, I need to make an announcement for my show. Our featured, Carl, I hate to do this, but I'm going to read a quote by Larry at the end of the show on his street work in Brazil. I have another caller from the Westboro Baptist Church on, and I'm going to start that issue. And for all the Larry Rosebaugh fans listening, I'm going to have to,
in the youth
I'm doing a final
and the young Christian workers
some of the
impacted
in 40 refugees.
Go to the worker. Don't
in El Salvador towards the end of his ministry there. And also I'm doing a quote from his life in Brazil when he worked on the streets and he fed the kids chicken soup every day and the whole community gathered. So I will be doing that at the end of the show tonight. But thanks again, Carl, for calling in. I have the main caller for the second half of the show on the air already, so I'm going to take him, okay? Thank you, Carl. Ernest, I'm ready.
You go ahead.
Could you please let the other caller on?
Mr. Phelps is on the line. I just unmuted his. I put him through, so he's on for you.
Hi, Timothy. Are you there?
I'm here, Jane. How are you doing?
I'm good. As a Baptist, I want to welcome you to our show. And I do want to give you, you know, the full floor for at least 10 minutes. I live in the community of Los Angeles, which is a pretty diverse community. But I grew up in Minnesota, which is pretty homogenous. And I just wanted to, you know, the one reason I wanted to have you on the show is because a lot of people know a lot about your public face on the air, in the airwaves and, you know, on visuals on television. But we don't really know that much except for what I've read about your actual church ministry. And I was just wondering, I know where you guys stand as far as homosexuals, but I'm wondering, as a Christian, what do you think the most important message that we should project to unbelievers and to a fallen world nowadays?
Well, I think that the most important message that every human being alive has to hear from anybody that's going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ is that they must know the will of God and do the will of God. They must obey. They don't need to think great thoughts. They need to obey what God Almighty requires of them.
Right, and in your personal, you know, I know that you were raised in the church and you have a strong fatherhood, but as your personal experience with Jesus Christ, what would you say would be the most beneficial aspect of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
The relationship that every one of the elect of God have is described nicely in Isaiah 6, and it was my experience, and it's been the experience, I believe, of every one of them, that they get the slats knocked out of them. They get terrified about their sin and the doom that is inevitable as a result of their sin. And not until they have that fear of God in them will they have any hope of salvation. So that was the experience I had.
Go to him.
I know that he's from the one that you
Don.
Place on church, but I do have a couple.
Don?
Yes.
I am going to stop it for a minute, and I'll tell you why. Because John isn't with us yet, and
right.
That guy was, he's the epitome of the breach of character, not breach of character, but the breach of getting alongness or community cooperation in America. He's the one in which the church from Kansas holds God hate bags signs at funerals for servicemen.
For servicemen, okay.
Like he held well, it at Elizabeth. Remember that guy, that senator from North Carolina,
yeah,
who ran for president, and then
right.
He was caught cheating and fathered a child. Well, his
uh-huh.
wife Elizabeth, he held a God hate fag sign at her funeral, primarily for military men, and their premise
uh-huh.
was, their main premise was is that our nation is disobedient, we're bringing the wrath of God upon ourselves, and unless we repent, our nation is going on a downhill spiral. And they're from Topeka,
okay.
Kansas.
Well, I mean, for the most part, I didn't understand what the earnest
radio network?
The interview you just played, I don't understand what you were trying to get at with that excerpt.
Well,
with earnest.
First of all, I wanted to say, okay, Ernest Sewell was my producer from 2010 till about March to April of 2014. I believe our last show was in April of 2014 at Easter. So basically,
right, you guys split acrimoniously, right?
We had a rift,
okay.
And we did not resolve it, and we haven't patched up our friendship since then. Then
right,
for
okay.
about a year, for about 7 months or so, it was John Yoder, me, and Bob Aldrich, who is a Aramaic Bible theology person in North Hollywood who used to live in my building. And Bob got upset on the show one night, hung up, and didn't participate again. But I recently got a Christmas card from him. And it looks
okay.
like we're on the road to recovery. John
okay.
also invested in his second book project, which was another Aramaic Bible study thing. I have his first book called The First Gospel, and it's about Matthew and all the mispublishing and all the mistakes they made in publishing over the years, like the discrepancy between the Aramaic text and English. So then,
right, which is huge.
I wouldn't call that a huge falling out. It was just a disagreement, and he didn't want to be on the air anymore. Then we recruited
okay, well.
You, and so far, even though we all fight, none of us disappeared.
No, we don't fight. We actually, I think, accentuate each other quite well.
And John enjoys you, and he thinks you're a good addition to the show.
Oh, great. I think he's a great guy, too. When you're talking about the spirituality or the religious followings or intent, especially in the Bible Belt, but anywhere in churches. You're talking about the guilt in that needs to be overcome. You know, not necessarily for sins, but for guilt of being who they are, and that's something that's very, very heavy on their hearts. They really can't do anything.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about people's strengths and weaknesses, but
right.
The only reason I'm throwing in Fred Phelps is he was probably it was actually his son Timothy and his gay brother Nate who came on later in the show. It was a 90-minute to 2-hour show. They were our most famous guests. However, Ernest did interview Macy Gray individually, and she's quite a bit more famous than the Phelps brothers.
Right, right. Well,
she's a singer.
You guys, yeah, and you guys have gone through quite a history so far. So keep up the good work, and tell me what the premium is. Maybe I can help you with whatever that is. But the bottom line is that this is just a good outlet for you. And
it's a good outlet for all of us, and plus for one thing, I'm not going to play any more of the Timothy Phelps interview till John gets here, but he's calling in in 5 or 6 minutes. Let's talk about this year in politics and where it's going to lead us in a directional frame of mind towards the greater agenda of controlling ISIS and putting our country back in motion for a more successful tri-branch, you know, like Congress working and with a new president. First of all, is it possible for the Republicans to pull off a victory without Donald Trump? And secondly, what strengths have you seen in candidates besides Donald Trump and perhaps Hillary Clinton this year? Are there any candidates you've seen strengthen?
Unfortunately, I have to say that I just missed Bernie Sanders today. I was supposed to go, but I was working, and I had to help train a new employee at work, so I'll see him in the next couple weeks. But for the most part, I'm afraid of our choices this election cycle. All of them have huge flaws to be the president of the United States, and I don't see anyone who is ready to track and keep up with the massive problems that we are going to have in terms of ISIS or the Black Lives Matter or the TPP, which is extremely important that we try to rescind that. For the most part, all of the candidates espouse extreme views, and they really don't have the person in mind, the individual. The only one I can really see who can do something with that information is Rand Paul, besides Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders, I do not agree with in that he labeled himself a socialist, and Rand Paul, I don't know if he's completely vetted all of his ideas. So, I mean, that they are able to be sustainable. So we're, you know, in a situation where we have to be very careful with whom we vote for as the presidency. My point, though, to everyone listening or anyone who hears this in the future, is that we need to make sure, no matter what party, we have a proper mix of down-the-line candidates. The presidency will take care of itself. There are enough checks and balances in the Constitution to merit anyone in the White House. And if you want me to repeat that, I can. There's enough checks and balances in the Constitution to merit anyone who is who married anyone who's in a candidate. So we don't.
I agree with you that all the major contributors are flawed, but a lot of them are accomplished too, like Bernie Sanders, who came out of nowhere and ended up winning his senatorial race by 70%. Hillary Clinton, who's been in the news, she's kind of like a Vladimir Putin. People know her weaknesses, but she has a lot of staying power. And Ted Cruz, who is a maverick, who's not necessarily liked in his own party, but will challenge anybody on constitutional integrity.
But every one of those people is a career politician who knows how to, including Bernie, who knows how to scam the system, which every politician does. It's about time at some point that we get a president.
You know, there's no fresh faces. Bernie Sanders is the freshest face you're going to get. That's not tainted by others.
You're correct.
And unless there's a total outsider like a Ben Carson or, you know, others in the past that have challenged. Actually, Donald Trump is sort of a, you know, he's not really a political long-term
person.
Remember,
he ran for president before. He's run for president before, so he's a pseudo-career politician. But like I said, don't worry about the presidency. Worry about your state senators. Worry about your governors, your assembly people, your congress people, your aldermen, your justice of the peace. Those are the offices that really matter in each one of our individual lives. The DA's office, any police chief elections, things like that. Those are the ones with the most effect on one's life. And as long as one is happy, there's no problem.
Speaking of happy, John Yoder's been on hold for 1 minute and 44 seconds, so I'm going to let him in.
All right.
Good evening, John. We were doing a year in review, but we also mentioned my previous history with BTR and played a couple quick clips off the Earnest Radio Network, including our interview with Timothy Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church, the God Hates Fags Church. And we've been having quite a good time here.
Well, it's good to be back among the living.
Hey, John.
Did you survive the weekend?
Well, you know, it was one of those weekends. And it's interesting. I had to pull a double shift on Christmas and then the day after. So last night, actually this morning, I'm getting back home about 3 in the morning, and I kind of did a deal where I'm on bike, but I also used my car because during the day I had to run some errands. So I parked the car kind of halfway in between, and it was at one of these public places where it's free. You park there as long as you don't stay more than a week. So I get to the car, everything's going to plan. I'm like, I'm smooth, I survived everything. And I start driving away and I hear a ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. I'm like, that's not good. Flat tire. So I'm like, oh boy. So that's okay, I'll put on the spare. Well, I try to do that and one of the lug nuts is kind of frozen. I mean, it won't fit on the tire jack. So I'm like, you know, it's like 3:30 now. I'm like, I'm not so smooth.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm like, that's okay. Fix a flat. So, you know, I'm the man with 100 plans. So I go down to Walgreens, pick up the fix a flat. You know, you cross your fingers and start the thing, and behold, it didn't work. I'm like, okay. So then I tried wrenching off the tire. You know, I fought with it for about an hour. Got close. But it's like, nope. Time to wave the flag. So I go to church. Oh, then I get a couple hours of sleep.
Did you call AAA?
No, because the problem is I'm going to have to, you know, get it towed. And then from there, when I get home, I'm going to have to get it towed to another place because it's Sunday, so no one can fix it. And do I park it in the street or in the, you know, it's a mess, right? because in LA you got to have permits for everything. So I'm like, no, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to call it a night and then I'll figure out Sunday what I want to do. So I get a couple hours sleep and I get a message. It's like the music director is ill, so they want me to cover. I'm like, that's okay. You know, everything's going smooth. Why not? So bottom line is I talked to my pastor. He's a mechanic. He says, I'll come over and work on it. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. So we go over there, takes a couple trips, but he finds the right tool to knock the lug nut off. And I get the car, we switch tires, I take it down the street, I find a place, give it some air. They do it for free, and I'm back in the business. The whole story is this. As a Christian, you're always looking for some miracle, you know, healing, prosperity, whatever, you know, a sign that God's real. I think the real miracle of Christmas and of Christian life is just that sinful people like me and my pastor, normal people, would do acts of love and charity and kindness in an evil world. To me, that speaks volumes more than, oh, I'm a prosperity preacher, or, oh, I got this great business, or I'm a politician and I do all this great stuff. No, it's the fact that you can be just a decent, kind person in the middle of evil and, you know, peace and goodwill towards all. That's kind of my soapbox tonight.
Well, for all the suffering that you've endured and then having to deal with that on top of working about 40 out of, you know, 40 out of the last 50 hours, that was one headache you didn't need. And you probably just had
like
to find a way to suffer through it without having to complain or ask why me.
Well, it kind of brought some reality because, right, who do you go to and just say, hey, come fix my car? And to have some skills and to do, and he had, you know, lunch to go to with his family and all that stuff. He's like, no, don't worry about it. But, you know, and as a Christian, you see that kind of stuff all the time. I'm talking in the real world. Just go to a street corner, you know, go up to some mechanic. Hey, will you, you know, come over and just work on my car for free and, you know, away from lunchtime on your day off. It's like, no, no, it's not going to happen. I just realized a lot of the problems we have in the world, people just aren't kind. They're just not compassionate. They don't have, it's all self-love. And to see someone just give, and I even, you know, I said, listen, here, just take $100. I mean, just go treat your family. It's Christmas. It's like, I don't want your money. I don't want any money. It's like, I'm good. It's like, I know that. That's why I want to give it to you. But, you know, I'm going to try to sneak it to his wife next week because he won't take it. You know, compared to a politician, right? He's going to take.
Well,
we
already gave you kudos for being like the spiritual throttle in the group, where you interpret all of Don and my comments, and then you somehow transform it into a spiritual message that's meaningful and relevant to Americans. Would you agree with that, Don?
Absolutely.
Don, we can't hear you.
All right.
Don?
All right, absolutely.
Oh,
I agree with that.
I agree. Yeah. And,
yeah, no.
You know, it's like you can't be. I saw a thing about getting back into the politics of things in the mid-70s probably, Jimmy Carter. And he made a declaration just how we're going to be a kind country, we're going to bring in immigrants, you know, like our kind of like our creed is. And Castro took that and said, I wonder what I'm going to do with this kind Christian statement. So he flushed out, you know, a couple thousand of his prisoner refugees. And we're talking rapists, murderers, insane people, along with some other innocent people, threw them on some boats. I think it's called the Muriel or Mariel boat transfer. And these people came over in our country. It's like we accepted it. We just, okay, bring them in. You know, the president says we're going to be a kinder, compassionate Christian country. And after about a couple months, the first year actually, in you know, like Dade County and Miami, the crime rate, the murder rate, the rape rate, everything like like skyrocketed. You know, went up 5 to 10 times. Because, and most of them were these refugees, just crazy people who could care less about anything. They would walk, if they had an argument, they'd just go shoot someone. They see a woman walking down the street, they just rape her. And they didn't care. And the point is, it's like it was unleashed upon an unsuspecting community of people. And it's like you can't always, I may bring a Christian kind, you know, perspective, but it's a dark world out there. And, you know, we found that out real quick with those refugees coming over.
Well, we only have 15 minutes left, so I think I'll let Don start first with his impetus for how he would like to conclude 2015, and then I'm going to play a couple more clips of the Timothy Phelps interview just so, because it's kind of a looking back show, and then I'm going to comment on that. And then I'll let John continue his discussion on what he's been talking about tonight. So, Don, where does 2015 leave us? You tell us to ignore the politicians in the primary presidential race, but focus on your local
right.
leaders. Are you
right.
going to stand by that?
Absolutely. The local guys are the guys that charge your taxes. They're the ones who determine your property boundary line. They're the ones who, develop your gerrymandering, where we're always changing our voting districts. Here in Nevada, we've got ward questions that will be coming up on the ballot, because we have a ward system that has two open seats. And so they're not only the ward, but the open seats that we vote for, and that's being deemed unconstitutional. So we've got to change it. There are a lot of things that we need to change. And 2015, and our president has already said, 2015 is it. Everything that's going to be done to save the world is being done, and now it's his turn. And that means, in some ways, I believe, our time to get our agendas across. People are going to have to become more benevolent, and these religions are not teaching that. They're teaching more hate, the organized Christian religions. And they're teaching hate of other cultures, other people they don't understand. And that has to change. Those people are, you know, many people have to wonder. The floods, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, all of the other natural disasters, those are not because of natural disasters or climate change all the time. Some people say that it's because God is wrath, bringing his wrath to those non-believers or those people who are believed in idolaters, which is what they are, what you are if you believe in a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus Christ. So, you know, you're going against the Bible, against the description of Jesus Christ. So I guess one may be damned. So, 2016, people are going to have to really open their eyes quickly and see what is in front of them, what is ahead, because it is a changing dynamic in the world, especially race-wise, and we're going to see Europe, and Greece and Russia, Germany. They're completely changing. Germany right now, they're marching in the streets with Nazi chants, and these are straight up Nazi chants. They're sending the refugees to East Berlin, on the outskirts in nowhere, no man's land. To keep them away, and they are having struggles with, I guess they've got close to 1 million refugees now that have gone into Hungary, the Germany, France, and Europe. So we're going to have a civil war, and it may be a EU war in the next year, that we have to be very, very reticent of. So we've got to really develop. We've got to think in the next few months about whose side we're going to be on, and what we're going to propose to proceed in the future to make this transition more peaceful than it looks like it could be. It could be a disaster. World War III could be in 2016.
I want to point out that it's been an epic year for Black Lives Matter, and most recently in Minneapolis, the Mall of America, which is the biggest mall in the country, tried to get a court injunction against Black Lives Matter for December 24th for not protesting inside the mall, and they lost. And the BLM
right.
group was able to protest. And today in Chicago, another 55-year-old mother of five got killed when the Chicago police misfired at a teen. And
they killed him, too, with a baseball bat.
I don't know what they killed him with, but I know two people died. But I know a lady named Betty Jones, I believe her name was, died as well. And she wasn't
right.
even supposed to die.
No, well, she was supposed to die. If God meant her to die, if it was her time, it's her time, baby.
Well, according to the Chicago police, it may or may not have been her time. Human error is a big factor in this.
Yeah, well, I think God has a little bigger plan than human error.
All I'm saying
time,
is
Jane,
in the last month, the shift is focused from all the other cities to Chicago because they recently were charged with murder in their force.
I think we heard something out of the mouth of babes, a classic Jane Hoffman statement. We got to post that for all eternity. Don,
the mute button is still active in the last week of 2015.
I think you definitely hit the hammer on the head on that one. I think God is the higher authority of when your time is. Don, in your experience, now this is interesting because we think that we're modern men and women and that in general, people think we're evolving. We're more sophisticated. We're smarter than the average bear, than the average man before us. But, you know, it seems like a couple times every century, we basically need to do a little genocide, a little mass murder, country versus country. And you just go historically, you know, you just go every century, back as far as you can go. And it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. We got to wipe out some people here. It doesn't matter if it's Babylon. It doesn't matter if it's Greece. It doesn't matter if it's the Roman Empire, the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, any age you want. World War I, World War II. So when you hear stuff like Nazi chants in Germany, it's like, yeah, I mean, you think it went away, the gene inside of man, it's a natural thing. Like when you get riled up, we go animal and we just start blindly killing. And I've even had a couple situations where you sit back, even as a Christian, I think, you know, this person here or there, they just need to be taken out. They're just evil. And, on the local level, Don, do you see across the country any particular areas where we still have hope as far as innocence? You know, maybe the Midwest, are the West Coast and East Coast, are they kind of lost causes politically on the local levels for corruption?
The corruption is rampant. Every police department, and that's what I want everyone to do, is get appointed or become a member of some citizen advisory board so that you can see the intricacies of the governmental workings. And they'll be able to determine what in the world they can do to continue their own issues. But I'm right here in Reno, Nevada. That's why I live here, because in all essence, this is one of the purest places that I've seen in all the country. We don't have any of the same manufacturing blight. We don't have a rust belt. So we are open book. We're making new chapters as we speak. Everyone knows it. All of the big software companies are coming to Reno. We've got Apple, Microsoft, and eBay and Amazon, and and Google. And now we've got Tesla, and we're going to get a company that doesn't even produce anything yet in Faraday Future, a Chinese electric car manufacturer. So we are giving away hundreds of millions and billions of dollars to bring in all of this proposed
like industry,
knowledge industry, right? And so we're bringing. If you want to get a job, if you want high paying wages, if you want in Lake Tahoe and the open spaces of the West that are still available without any fences, you can come to Reno, Nevada, and you'll have a site.
We're in Minnesota is God's country, not Reno.
Well, I tell you, Minnesota's got the Black Lives Matter sitting in the biggest mall in the country. We don't have that here. We don't have to worry about sit-ins and people shouting and
things. You guys are
shooting
on saddleback and horses.
I picked up a bunch of poop a couple of years ago. That was the last time. Horse poop. You know, we've got the Reno Rodeo, which is the richest rodeo in the country, and we've got, you know, we're not too far from main cities, but we're not there. We're
145
miles away from Sacramento.
We'll agree with you temporarily, but I'm going to play this clip. We only have 3 minutes left. I just want to play a 1 minute clip for John so he can hear what the leader of the First Westboro Baptist sounds like. Here we go.
God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you believe that, then, and you believe that the Levitical code prohibits you from eating shellfish, then don't eat the stinking shellfish. Don't be getting up in my grill. I'm addressing the sins that are on the front table to be addressed. If somebody wants to talk about a different sin and it's articulated in Scripture, I don't cherry pick. I'll tell them exactly what the Scripture says about it, and I'll address it head on. Like your idolatry, Christmas, Easter, and all the other filthy idolatrous festivals that take place throughout the year. But those are spot issues. I don't cherry pick. I address the ones that are in front of me.
Well, now you're talking about the ones that are at the forefront of the American dialogue, which right now homosexuality is, and that's why you guys have chosen that. Christmas every year is at the forefront of the American dialogue from about the day after Thanksgiving until New Year's. Are you protesting Christmas? Are you protesting patio sports or the Christmas lights in the front of Macy's? I mean, what's the point of that?
Okay, we don't have enough time to go into that whole scenario. But that's John.
Oh, yeah.
I was just playing that clip. So we've had Macy Gray on with the Earnest Radio Network, Tim Phelps. We've covered Bob Graff, who was a member of the Milwaukee 14. We've had a good 5 years. Before you came on, I mentioned Bob and a few other people who participated in our show. So I'm going to let John do the conclusion. We only have 1 minute left, and John's already had his day in the sun. Go ahead, Don.
I just wanted to mention that in some of those things, I agreed with your interview on the tape right there, like your interviewer's points. And that's what I was saying, that these churches are praying to idolatry. Go ahead, John.
In conclusion with Revelation, it says in the last chapter, if you read it, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I think that, you know, the goal and purpose of the Christian isn't to run around yelling at gays or at murderers or whoever. It's to share good news. And if that's forgiveness and love, God's going to judge all this, and he's